I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
The guy's already arguing in studio. The mics aren't on.
I was just saying bye to my friend Greg.
Yeah, there you go. Chris Roedling, Dave Lundy in studio tonight. Touche. We get a little national politics in.
You've been away for a while.
That's right. You're back. Congrats.
Yeah, together.
A few miles.
OG.
No, we weren't that together.
No, we're together now.
Oh.
Jeez, you can't even agree that we're together right now? You're sitting right next to me, man.
We didn't go away together.
No, we did not. Just to be clear, we did not go away together.
You went to some sort of preserve for rich Democrats in the Caribbean. I was out working my tail off.
You're working, you're building houses.
Trying to scratch out a living.
Right.
As a poor Republican.
All right. So let's talk to this week, of course, foreign policy takes center stage. North Korea showdown here with the fleet in the area, missile systems on the way. The second most powerful person in American government at the DMZ saying, don't mess with U.S. resolve. Where are we at, Chris? I mean, is this signaling a new day for American foreign policy?
Well, I think it's a sobering up, not just Obama's fault, but also Bush and Clinton. We had 15 years of trying like crazy, multilateral, the six-party talks, and trying to deal with North Korea and trying to incentivize them, trying to deal with China and get China to incentivize its client state, its buffer client state, ruled by a series of, wacko dictators. And it hasn't worked. And most recently, for 8 years, Obama completely failed. And so now Trump has got to step up. And I think what has been fascinating about this is the fact that he actually had a productive exchange with Premier Xi of China. And that's certainly beyond expectations of guys like David, who, were saying the whole world would come to hell in a handbasket.
It's great to see him having a productive exchange with a Xi.
Well,
the president of
China, David.
No, yes, puns. You can't.
You want to make fun of names with the president of China at 1.2 billion people?
No, no. Can I make fun of, though, the president of the United States who said that he learned everything he knew? He discovered that relations with North Korea and China were actually complicated, and he learned everything he knew by sitting in a 10-minute lecture from President Xi. Well, I would have hoped he had listened to, had some knowledge before he became president of the United States.
Well, at least he knows something as opposed to our last. But the point here is that we've got something going finally, but nobody knows how it's going to end up. And of course, the Democrats have tried assiduously to pull out the last bit of defense for us because they've always opposed missile defense for 35 years, including the terminal high altitude anti-missile defense system, which is now installed at Kodiak, Alaska, notwithstanding unremitting Democrat opposition and hostility. And that could be the last line between North Korea and last line between North Korea and Seattle.
Okay, understood. Now, this has been an ongoing story, and we've all known about the North Korea testing missiles and things and the hostility that comes from that country and a lot of failed missile attempts over the last 20 years. What makes this different than what happened 2 years ago and 6 years ago and during Bush, during Clinton even?
Well, I mean, to Chris's point, and I give Chris credit for acknowledging that, in fact, the first nuclear test by North Korea was under George W. Bush. Clinton tried to negotiate. Bush tried to negotiate. Obama tried to negotiate. And it's not working. And so I think there's a bipartisan agreement that something different needs to be done. The concern is that, there is no good military option. If the United States did anything militarily, North Korea would destroy Seoul and literally 10 million people would die. That's not an option that anybody wants to see. So our military options are truly limited. So really the only card that we can play is to get China to play a more constructive role. And, we'll see. So far, what has happened, there was one concession that China made that put pressure on North Korea over coal shipments. I don't know if that had an effect. I frankly think the thing that's been most effective is what is seems pretty clearly to be a U.S. A cyber war, the way we derailed the Iranian nuclear program with the Stuxnet virus. It seems like we've been pretty effective because this one missile system has a failure rate of 88%. That's not natural.
So let me ask, I mean, this is the Trump administration seems to be stepping out of years of China policy. This way that China policy, the way that we deal with Korea through China and let China sort of be there's been a lot that has sort of let them sort of do what they need to do and they don't do it. And this is sort of the back and forth that we've been doing for years. Is this a change of pace? Does the Trump administration find themselves, you know, stepping out of line with what the American military and the foreign policy has done for decades?
Well, I think the Trump, it's summed up by Trump said, it's a problem and either you're going to solve it or we're going to solve it. And if you solve it, we'll have a better trade deal. And so he's given something that she really does want, which is, generally speaking, a better, what all that means, trade deal for China and America. And I think David just, I'm going to say that he overlooked the third element. It's not just cyber. It's not just in diplomatic engagement. It's bringing North Korea even more to its knees economically. And that's through tightening of sanctions and really focusing on individuals. And what we're going to have, there is a cadre that runs the country. Everybody else is superfluous, and that's why they're allowed to starve to death. And the cadre has accounts in China and in Switzerland and elsewhere, probably in Jakarta or Singapore and a couple of other banking centers. And our CIA and all those guys know exactly where all this stuff is. And they have to absolutely cabin those resources from the cadre.
But I guess to just talk to the layman that is Justin here. Why has this not been done by the military, not necessarily to administrations, the political administrations? Why has the military not done the things that you just spoke of, trying to separate the cadre from its supply, things of that nature?
I think that there was a political story,
is my question.
Make a long story short, there was a withering away of a Northeastern Asian security architecture, and then there was a sense of what are we going to put in its place? And I think that Clinton and Madeleine Albright and then Bush, especially with Condoleezza Rice and the State Department
Obama.
Lady Susan, no,
oh, Susan Rice,
not Susan Rice, the State Department nuclear negotiator who failed both in Korea and in Iran. Those guys convinced the office holders, the presidents, that it was better to push the diplomatic thing as far as they possibly could. And quite honestly, China has played us and China in its role as regional hegemon or would be hegemon has been playing us and Japan and South Korea.
Do you agree with that? Is that, that I mean, from a Democrat side, Dave, I mean, this idea that diplomacy failed and now we're going to try something new. Does that jibe with you?
Well, diplomacy failed and now we're going to try a different kind of diplomacy. We're going to try a more muscular diplomacy, a diplomacy with increased sanctions. I do agree. I think that is the way to go. Again, because, you know, look, Donald Trump can, deploy the aircraft carriers. And I think that's probably a good thing to do within reason. I wonder, though, what would have happened had the missile test succeeded, not failed.
Right.
And would we have taken military action? I always go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I always go back to the fact that the generals wanted to blow the hell out of Cuba and bomb all the missiles, and it was the cooler heads of the civilian leadership that said, whoa, whoa, hold on, big fella, let's look for an alternative. And I don't trust Trump to look for the alternative.
Well, I will say this is a super boring topic for Touche, so why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll talk about whether or not the Democrats have grown since the election and if they have a chance for the upset in the special election in Georgia for Gingrich's seat. You say yes, Dave. Chris says...
I didn't say yes.
No. Oh, there we go.
I think it's
all right. Well, let's take a break.
All right.
Touche, come here. Touché. On the download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay. I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right here.
Touche. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio as we are arguing in the break about what to talk about
we
next.
We can't even agree on what to talk about, Justin.
let's talk. I mean, a lot.
Georgia
is
a non-event. I mean, it's not really a non-event.
Oh, must think you're going to lose.
If they lose, no. I mean, if the Republicans lose, then the Democrats are going to have a warm and fuzzy feeling, and God bless them. And that the Republicans have had that feeling when Democrats have been in the White House, and this stuff goes back and forth. But I don't think we should spend too much time on it until it happens. I mean, how do any of us really know what's going
to happen? They're talking about it almost being a proxy, like the Democrats have organized, they're ready to rock, this is it, their new leadership.
They were saying that about Kansas.
No. This is where you're taking off on the lying of Donald Trump, who tweeted that the Democrats predicted victory. Nobody predicted victory.
They were all talking victory.
Nobody predicted victory in a seat where Donald Trump won by 27 points. That was a rock red district. I didn't think there was a chance. There was not a dime of Democratic money, national Democratic money put in there. Georgia's different. But look, he either wins in the run, he either wins immediately or he loses. The Democrat either wins tomorrow or he's going to go down because right now there's 16 candidates and most of them are Republicans. And
if it's a 1-1, Price, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong Republican district. If the Democrats win it, it's on top of whatever.
Republicans win it after all this hubble bubble, I'm going to tell you
something.
You have got to say, okay, they pulled it out.
I will say they've pulled
it out. All right, good.
You don't see me predicting a Democratic victory here.
Like everybody did in Kansas.
Nobody did in Kansas. God, you've got a tenuous grasp on the truth like our president.
Chris Roebling, what happened to Steve Bannon?
Who?
Oh, I think what Bannon is. I think Bannon remains a very influential.
Do you think
figure.
It's too much hype? The media hype that taken off the council.
Right. I believe that it is. It is sad to watch the media stumble around looking for some non-event like Kansas, like Georgia, like Bannon,
like the Easter egg roll,
like the
Holocaust statement of Sean Spicer. Total non-event.
The Sean Spicer Nazi Hitler statement. That was a good one, but everything else has been baloney, and it's sad to see the mainstream media reduced to that.
You know, Chris,
out of Trump derangement.
Chris, it sounds like you're saying what Donald Trump said at the press conference when he said, "Well, NATO used to be." You know, I said NATO was irrelevant, but NATO is actually very relevant. Okay, sure. It's
obsolete.
Obsolete.
I said it was obsolete, but it's obsolete.
It's not obsolete. Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Trump has, you know, there was more diplomacy going on that day last week. And this is what David doesn't
want
to talk about.
Spin warning.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Our Secretary of State not only gets over there, he's been told ahead of time.
Without press.
No meeting with Trump. No meeting. No meeting with Putin. And so he gets over there. He has, 4 hours of meetings with Lavrov. Then he has 2 hours of meetings with Putin. And obviously Putin is angry as hell, which just, by the way, pulls apart the whole Russian puppet story. And then what happens back here? Trump appears with the General Secretary of NATO. So in terms of delivering a message, he may have delivered weapons or cruise missiles into Syria. And by the way, I was in Qatar. I woke up and I found out we had just done that. I went downstairs and they were basically cheering in the hotel. The Gulf people are so excited that we finally stepped up and that the 8 years of Obama national nightmare and Gulf nightmare and Middle East nightmare is over.
Yeah, anyway, really effective airstrikes too. Boy, oh boy, that airfield was out for like 2-4 hours.
Well,
it's like a Chicago snowstorm.
You know, this is what David is reduced to. And so
fact sighting. I'm reduced to fact sighting.
I'll tell you. And then to have the NATO guy back at the White House says to Russia where they stand.
All right. I guess we only have 2 minutes because we got to hit the pregame here. I'm interested. I mean, the tax returns, you know, is that a thing? I mean, obviously, there over the weekend, we saw protests about this. Is this something we saw Sean Spicer today double down on the idea of a perpetual audit?
Yeah. I was watching this the press conference, Spicy's daily press briefing, and he said today that he was asked about the tax returns, and he said, well, the president said he's not going to release them under audit. And the reporter said, well, but he's filing the returns tomorrow. He can't be under audit for those returns. As Spicer said, well, he's under a perpetual audit. There's no such thing as a perpetual audit. They're lying.
Do you
and
think
how
that
do we know that they're lying? Because their lips are moving.
Chris, are they covering something up, or are they just playing with the media at this point?
You are never going to see those tax returns.
No. Chris and I agree. You're never going to see the tax returns because he's hiding things. Where's he going?
Chris is out. He's like, he just got up. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy.
If there was a mic, Dave no, has.
If there was a mic, he would drop it.
He just walked away like, you're never going to see those tax returns. Great
you got
outline.
Another minute, buddy. Yeah. Where are you going?
Sorry. I'm here, baby.
Last thing, and real I'm quick, here. Just real quick, sum up. Here, the spring break for Congress is going to be over here. Spending versus Trump's budget. It seems like it's going to come down to the sort of gloom and doom of, oh, all the domestic programs are going to be cut. That doesn't look like it's going to come to
the Trump budget was heartless. It was cruel. It was disastrous. It will not come to be.
What we need is tax reform, and that's got to be. What he's going to do now is going to try and revive health care reform and then go to tax reform.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, always a pleasure to have the guys here for Touche. Here on 720 WGN. Thanks.